Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Richard Porter.
And I'm Johnny Smith.
And this is Smith and Sniff, a podcast in which two friends talk about cars and this week mostly animals. Quite a lot of robust feedback to last week's show. I probably should have explained to people that it was just a sort of quick fix because we were short of time because of holidays and other work and stuff. And apparently for a lot of people it didn't quite work out because the sound wasn't very good. It's just something we were trying because we thought people might be interested in the new Defender. So sorry if you didn't enjoy it or couldn't listen to it all the way through. We'll try not to do it again until the next time that we screw something up. Anyway, how are you?
It's been a stressful morning, actually. Way more stressful than it should have been.
Why so?
Well, I woke up to hear a load of like smacking and slapping noises. I thought, what on earth is that? And it's my wife running around the kitchen with a fly swat, swatting so many wasps that the swat's broken in three places. And it turns out we've pretty much got a wasp's nest in our kitchen.
Oh.
And I knew there was a wasp's nest on the outside of the house because I've heard them scratching around for a while, but they've finally broken through, Rich. They've broken through the wall. They've eaten through the coving and the ceiling and they've gone into the kitchen. So then there's loads of wasps coming in and then going, this is not the right exit. Where I don't know where I'm going. And then just hanging around. So I had all the windows open. So that's why I had to quickly message you to say, I'm going to have to do this podcast a little bit later because I'm dealing with a situation.
Oh, man. So hang on. The wasps, they want to go outside again, but they're accidentally coming through your coving into your kitchen and then doing what I had to do last week in a very large... one of those sort of, you know, office like WeWork things, but it wasn't a WeWork, where, you know, people go and do when they don't have a proper office to go to. I was in one of those.
Yeah.
And it was very big. And I kept going the wrong way.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you do that and you walk into an even bigger room full of people, have quite a few people in it, and you have to do a bit of a sort of basically like BAFTA winning performance of, oh, I'm just meant to come in here. Yeah, just came to look at this picture here of David Bowie. And now I'm going to turn around and I'm going to go over here because I don't want you to know that I'm looking for the sugar.
I would say that's in today's world right now, that's the COVID toilet walk. Because if you're in a hotel or you're in a, I don't know, a restaurant, it's because it's probably all a one-way system now, like it was for me a couple of weeks ago. I went to the loo and it took me about 20 minutes to get back. So everyone thought I was having a serious session in the toilet.
Yes.
And needing a midwife. The same thing. And I didn't at all. I was just walking around the perimeter of the entire site to get back.
This is the one-way system threw me out as well. And I eventually found the loo. And then I thought there must be a closer one. I went back to I was there for a meeting. We had a socially distanced meeting. And the second time I needed to get the loo, because it was an all-day thing, I foolishly asked one of my colleagues in this meeting, who was TV's James May, forgetting, of course, that his sense of direction is not necessarily the sharpest, and nor is mine, frankly. And he went, oh, no, well, you can go up to some glass doors and they're locked, but if you tap on them, there's someone at a desk on the other side and they'll let you through, and that's the way to do it. But that was completely bum information. I went into a different room and had to do that. Oh, here I am. Dum-da-dum, meant to come in here. Yep, definitely meant to come in here. Just going to wander around for a bit.
Sometimes it's easier to just go into the car park and wee in the corner of the car. that's what a friend of mine has told me he's done before.
Oh, dear. But that's the thing, anyway. COVID doesn't make it easier, does it? Because the problem is that you can't just sort of... you definitely don't want to just go right up to someone and go, excuse me, where are the loos? But also, you know, the one-way systems and the general sort of sense of just keeping your distance makes it all even more complicated.
Super hard. Like, they're blanking off some of the urinals and saying you can't use that one because obviously socially distanced urinals are a thing.
Well, yeah, but I sort of... Because they had that here and they had, you know, so there were... In the loo that I went to first, there were three urinals and so the middle one had a red cross sticker above
it. Yes.
But I thought, why didn't they have these pre-COVID? Because they should have had little stickers, particularly in pub loos, that say, men, if there's a person at the far right urinal, don't go to the middle one when there's no one at the far left, you weirdo. And for Christ's sake, don't start up a conversation or do a fart and then make a whimsical remark about it. None of these things are acceptable etiquette.
No. Do you know what it is, though? I reckon if we kept like this now, so one of them's blanked off and has crime tape on it or whatever, that's the qualifying urinal. so that's the... Do you know what I mean? So, like I don't know, in F1 or whatever, you'd have a spare car or you got your qualifying tyres. You've got your quali urinal and then you've got your main event urinal. And it's the same with the cubicles. You've got your quali cubicle.
Well, that's a whole separate area, isn't it?
Yeah,
as well,
we can't. We're supposed to talk about vehicles, not... toiletries.
We've slightly digressed.
Wasps.
Sorry, wasps. So wasps, you got, as UB40 didn't say, a wasp in my kitchen.
What am I going to do? Well, actually, there was something like 14 dozen wasps in my kitchen. And I tell you what I'm going to do. It starts like this. Open all the windows and shut the doors that go through to the rest of the house, okay? Usher the kids out to holiday club. Tell the wife to go and relax in a different part of the house. Then what we do is we put some gaffer tape over the hole in the coving, and as you're pressing it, thinking, this will sort them out, your hand goes through and you realise the entire corner of the kitchen ceiling has been eaten out. So now we have a bigger hole and a bigger situation. So now I go into the back conservatory where there's some recycling ready to be put out, and I find an Amazon box. I light it in the middle of my own kitchen, stamp it out, and then I leave it underneath that area in the kitchen so that there's a smoking box. It disorientates the enemy, and it buys me a bit of time. And so then what I do is I think, oh, hang on, well, what can I do? I know, ran down to the shed. I did have some wasp nest killing powder, which I'm not proud of, but I have used it in the past because we've had 4 wasp's nests or something around here before in 8 years. Anyway, so I think I'm going to have to cover that whole corner of the ceiling. So I get myself a big piece of bubble pack from, again, the recycling at the back, and I make what looks like a hammock with tape, gaffer tape, all the way around it. And as I'm gaffer taping it up onto the ceiling, there's about, I don't know, 150 wasps around me, and I've got a hoodie on, but shorts. So it's not a great combo. Oh. Yeah. I as I'm putting the last bit of tape up to kind of cordon it off, I put a load of the powder in, and then sell it into it. So any wasp coming through into the house lands in a load of wasp cocaine, rolls around and then consequently dies. But the reason why this occurred this morning is because last night, just before I went to bed, I thought, I remember there's a wasp's nest, isn't there? Because I heard it the other morning with them scratching and eating my ceiling. So
you could hear the wasps eating your house.
Yeah, honestly. So last night, this is not a great idea, and I don't recommend it because I don't think it works. I went into the shed just before bed. It was a lovely night, wasn't it? Full moon. And I thought, I've got a can of expansion foam and a long proboscis. So I just pushed the thing into the cracks all around where the wasps were getting in and out, and basically just filled their nest with expansion foam, thinking that'll do them. They won't be able to get out of that. Well, they can get out of that. because they can eat their way through the foam, because it's not, because wasps have got very strong mandibles. So that was my fire pissed on, and that's why my kitchen was full of wasps, and that's why I think most of them have died. But after this podcast, I'll obviously check to see if the rest of the house has been eaten. And what's weird is I saw on social media that Television's Ross Kemp had his whole face stung by wasps, and he turned into what looked like that chap, is it Pete Burns from Dead or Alive?
Yes.
Or maybe a football hooligan that had just had a good shoeing. I shouldn't laugh because it looked painful, but hey.
But
should we talk about cars, do you think?
Yes, I've got some. Well, something I wanted to talk to you about, because we were talking about Imprezas and RB5s and 22Bs and stuff.
One of those in Star Wars, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I keep thinking 22Bs, one of the camp robots or something in Star Wars. I don't know a lot about Star Wars, if I'm honest, which does offend people, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, well, so anyway, after we'd been talking about it, we hadn't spotted that a 22B came up for auction.
Is the 22B the most sought after, or is it about even with the P1?
I think it. Oh, that's a good question, actually. They're both three doors, aren't they? So I don't know. Yeah. I can read you some of the blurb from this auction thing. One of 399 22Bs built for sale to the domestic market. Domestic market? Oh, I see. Okay. Now, look, this doesn't make any sense. They've already, their own blurb,
doesn't
bullet
make
point
sense.
One of 399 22Bs built for sale for the domestic market.
Yes.
Point two, car 326 of the 400 JDM examples. Get your...
Hang on, the domestic market meaning
Japan,
are they meaning, are these the ones, some of them were for Britain?
I don't know.
What was the allocated number? Were there any allocated to the UK? Or
it looks like,
I think there were.
I mean, I think maybe that's it. Wasn't the P1 was a UK car?
P1 was UK because it was Pro Drive.
22B was, because this one has been imported, if it's a grey import.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. No, now the blurb says, only 399 22Bs were built for sale for the domestic market. Another 25 were made for overseas markets.
Only 25?
Yeah, that's weird, isn't it? I should have done some research if I'd known that the blurb on this auction thing was in fact... Oh, here we go. Now there's more. God, they're really drip-feeding this bloody information, aren't they?
They're laying the paving stones of the narrative, Richard.
The car presented here is a 1998 Subaru Impreza 22B STI.
I know.
A car 326 of the 400 JDM examples, which was imported in the UK in 1998.
Lovely.
Blah, 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 blah. Subaru UK officially imported only 16 22Bs and passed them on to ProDrive for modification.
Wow. I would say that means it's probably rarer than the P1. But look, we're going to get hundreds or maybe... several people contacting us to tell us.
Yeah, otherwise. Yeah. People are going to be irritated now with our lack of...
because we don't know.
Forgot. Anyway, the headline, the reason I bring this up is because this imported Impreza 22B sold at the end of July for £130,500.
£130,000?
Yeah.
So it's the new Cosworth, isn't it?
It's the new
Cosworth.
But
it's not new.
Then somebody on social media pointed out the other day that a really lovely original Sierra Cosworth, in fact, not only original, pre-production car. It was one of the pre-production batch that they made ahead of launch, and it's gone for something like £50,000. Hang on, I'm going to find
it. See, that seems very cheap.
Doesn't it?
Well, listen, while you're looking for that, I've got an opinion. Do you think if you're a Subaru Impreza owner, a proud one, and you get caught with a fluffy toy of Scooby-Doo inside the car, your insurance is invalidated? What do you think? You know, it's like, sorry, mate, zero tolerance to that. We get it. It's a gag. It's a play on words. Quit it with the soft toys. Stop being a dick. Come on.
Do they do that?
It has been done a lot in the past. I've seen it at car shows, but it's probably wound down a bit now because the classic shape in Prezza is fairly seldom seen, whereas it used to be a daily occurrence.
Yeah, yeah. And you can hear them coming, can't you, as well? I once wrote a column about this because I reckoned that the Impreza was one of those cars, Impreza Turbo, one of those cars that had a sort of consistent image around the world and was always driven by the same sort of person, a kind of crop-haired, geezer-y sort of bloke. But I've been in the US and you hear one coming around the corner. I was once, I think, in Barcelona and you could hear the brr-brr-brr-brr-brr coming around the corner. Impreza Turbo being driven in a slightly too quick way back in their heyday,
of course,
early 2000s.
Yes.
I found this Sierra Cosworth, 1985, pre-production Sierra Cosworth. It's in Moonstone, which is that lovely sort of grey, bluey colour.
Yeah, we know. Yeah,
classic.
The Jimmy Nail sapphire spender colour.
Yeah. Didn't he have different ones, though, as well? Because didn't they keep getting nicked while they were making the show?
Well, it wouldn't bloody surprise me.
Anyway, so this is a pre-prod car. It's got various little differences between it and production ones, which, you know, always get people like us a little pique our interest, don't they?
Does it have a little sovereign tray underneath the ashtray that's pre-prod?
It's got a soft holder.
Tray of sobs. I'm sorry, that's bad. That's bad clicheing.
Well, it has. I can tell you what it does have. It has no rear window washer. The fuse box lid is black rather than white. There's no first aid box, and there are two types of radio balance control fitted for some reason.
What?
There's also a brace. There's also a brace between the engine and the gearbox to reduce vibration. Now, that's a bit weird that they wouldn't have put that on the production cars, what they decided that they could dispense with it. But what's interesting is this: they think this car had a little bit of a life as a press car. So I wonder whether it was sort of...
Well, that means it's got extra provenance.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But yet it goes for less.
It's been to New Zealand and back. Someone bought it and took it out to New Zealand. Then a British guy in Australia saw that it was for sale in New Zealand and went and rescued it, repatriated it to the UK and put its original plates back on it, got its original registration back on, and it's been sort of not quite restored, but certainly redone.
This isn't Jess Cross. This isn't the journalist Jess Crosses, is it?
No, I don't think so.
Cause
no, it's not.
Because he had a Express one.
Oh, he did,
and
didn't he? Yeah.
He bought back his long-termer. It's not his, is it?
No, this guy... apparently the current owner was called Tim and lives in Sydney, but he's repatriated it to the UK and now he's selling it. Well, he sold it because it sold for £52,500.
Well, I mean, it's a huge amount of money. But
yes, but
we've seen Cosworths go for like over 100 grand, 90, 110.
I just think that's just your money's safe. That's yours. Your money's safe there. You're safe in your pre-production Cosworth. Your money's safe.
Oh, it's a game show now. I like it.
We've got a format right here. Guess what it went for? Oh, that's yours. You've got that now. It's safe. Yeah, 52.5 grand for a unique Sierra Cosworth as well. And it looks in absolutely spanky condition. And there's some lovely things have been done to it. Like the seats have been restuffed but under the original fabric.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's like, I hate it when car seats go a bit
80s Ford soft. Foam has given way.
Yeah.
Finally. I say finally. Probably within 5 years of ownership.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks absolutely minty. I can't believe... If it had gone for 100 grand, I mean, we'd be going, cool, that's silly money. But it's quite believable that could happen because people get a bit giddy about these things. So
they get very
52
giddy.
52 and a
yeah,
half.
Yeah, that seems all right, that
feels
does.
A bit reasonable. Thank you to Kevin Santi on Twitter who alerted me to this thing. He sent me a newspaper cutting about it.
Talking of Twitter, there was a debate yesterday or the day before that Motor Trend put on there saying if money was no object, would you have a diesel or a petrol car? And why?
I saw your reply to this.
And I just couldn't understand why someone had even bothered to try and strike a debate up. It's like, you're referring to cars specifically, not vehicles. No, nobody would choose a diesel over a petrol car because the whole point of a diesel car was that it was conceived to just be more economical. Is that right?
Yeah.
And if money was no object, then you're just going to rooster tail money at fuel or, I don't know, build something that's hybrid or jet-powered or whatever. I mean, I'm just very bemused. Very bemused. Unless I'm wrong. Unless there's someone out there
that
can put their hand on their
heart
and go, if there was no constraints on money, I'm still going to have a 535D.
Well, steady on.
It's a good
car. 520D, I think. 520D. SE, not M Sport, because this has got slightly smaller wheels, so it'd be more economical, even though money's no object.
Even though money's no... What are you, some sort of, like...
Mind you, you do get that. You get those people you see, occasionally you see in the papers, someone's won, like, £20 million on the lottery, and they go, well, the first thing that we did when we won the money was we went out and bought a new second-hand TV. You know, why did you buy a second-hand TV? You're millionaires.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we should applaud it because it's the whole like, well, you don't need to buy more, so you don't buy more. I don't know. Am I just being?
No, you're not. But I really enjoy your righteous indignation about this because I think
I just don't think it's a conversation. Yeah.
Well, it's not, is it? It's sort of like going, now, which is best, ham sandwiches or losing a foot in a boat accident? That's not a fair comparison. One of those things is something you'd have to bear rather than something you'd actually want.
Exactly. It is just like that. Yes. Finding a spider in your food in a restaurant or... jumping into an infinity pool in the Maldives. But don't answer
hastily. This is not like for like, people. Come on. I was going to say, though, that I think part of this is American car people's relationship with diesel is weird.
Hang on. You've said it wrong already.
What?
You need to say
what?
Diesel.
Diesel.
Yeah,
diesel.
I've heard,
I sound Swedish. When
I've heard a lot of Americans saying diesel.
Diesel?
Yeah.
Diesel? Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So, you know, my wife's American, but she never says diesel. Even when we had a diesel car, she used to delight in winding me up. And I only realised she was winding me up belatedly by going, oh, I'll be a bit later home because I've got to go and put petrol in the car. And I go, diesel! She'd be like, yeah, I know. And she always did it. I'm just going to go put some petrol in the car. Don't put petrol in it, it's diesel! And, yeah, I realised after a while she was just taking the piss out of me because it made me so anxious about her misfueling. But what was he going to say? Oh, yeah, no, Americans aren't diesel. It's that classic, you only want what you can't have.
Yeah.
Because I remember for years reading people, you know, sort of classically, like a lot of the guys on Jalopnik would be sort of frotting themselves senseless over the idea of a diesel estate car version of something like a Golf that they could get over there, but not in that form. I mean, I think it was kind of a standing joke for Jalopnik, at least. But there was sincerity behind it. Which was, well, we really love a diesel-powered one.
I suppose
of those.
It is.
And you
the
felt
grass
like going,
is greener.
We can get diesel-powered ones of those, and trust me, you don't.
You don't
they're
need
wretched.
It.
Well, I you well, only well, have them because they're economical.
When we had the Chrysler 300C estate diesel, with the V6 Merc engine in it. I got quite a lot of interest from people in the States following me on social media going, wow, did you do that? Is that a conversion yourself? I'm like, no. It's, why would I go to all that effort? I'm only buying it because I'm only a moron would drive a V8 as a daily driver in this country. And B, the V6 version, petrol version, is CAC. So the diesel V6 is the only other option on that car. And that's the reason why I chose it. But, or I could have just not bought the car. But hey, I enjoyed that car. Thought it was a good car. Very good car.
I think there's an equivalent, is there not? There's definitely sort of, maybe it's just sort of all V8s. There's sort of things that we might hanker for in Europe that Americans will go, look, you know what? We got loads of these things and they're shit.
Oh, of course.
I can't think what it is. You know, just sort of like sort of workaday, low horsepower V8s. I don't know. They're still quite nice, aren't they?
I mean, you get the sound, you get the look. The 305 V8, Chevrolet V8, which was a sort of an eco V8, was a bit crap, I have to say.
An eco V8? That sounds an increasingly...
Yeah, the 305 was a bit gash. Yeah.
It was. What's 305 in litres?
5 litre.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay.
Yeah,
quite hearty then.
Yeah, I think 305 is a 5, because I had one of those. It was disappointing. It's very weak, you know, like very puny. We had some pretty puny V6s in the 70s, didn't we?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think there was a low compression version of the Rover V8. That was put into Land Rovers or Range Rovers for some markets where the petrol wasn't very strong. And that's not the way of expressing, is it? You know what I mean? Low octane petrol.
I like that. Not very, yeah.
Not very strong.
Low
weak
run.
Petrol. Yeah, yeah. Like a sort of Coors Light.
Like when you go into a foreign bar and they've watered down the spirits. Or there's a rumour that they have, and maybe they never did. It's just someone was spreading vicious rumours. Oh, yeah, the vodka's only 20% in there. Don't go in there, mate.
Oh, my friend Welsh Mike, who I once took into a slightly rough backstreet pub in Manchester and went, what do you want to drink, mate? And he went a little bit too loudly. He went, oh, I don't know, I'll just have a pint of the weakest bitter. And everybody looked at us. Because it's not the kind of thing you say in a pub in Manchester.
You think it, and you may do it, but you don't say it. Sort it. I absolutely love that slogan on public transport in the UK. It's good.
Sort it. Stroke it. No, that wasn't.
Say it, see it, stroke it. No, that's not it.
That was only dogs.
What, say it, as in you call the dog, you see it with your own eyes, and then you stroke it.
Don't you do that? I just go, oh, look, a dog, because I've spent too much time with my children. I do the same with helicopters and other objects that they find amusing. Look, kids, helicopter. Oh, the kids aren't with me.
And they don't, or they don't care. You're the only one that cares. I'd still do it with tractors in the field. Here.
Yeah, you see, that's the thing. I dread the day when my children are uninterested in a helicopter going over because, you see, unfortunately, I still am, and I'm 45, but I have the sort of feel like I have backup from them.
I'm hugely enthusiastic about watching tractors in action, agri, of which I drove my first modern tractor at the weekend.
What?
Yeah, it'll all be revealed on one of my new car pervert videos. But
this was a filming thing, not just for.
But it's a friend of ours who is a farmer, and I'd struck a bit of a deal with him. And we were filming with the car, and I said, well, when we'd finished the filming, I said, look, I've never driven a tractor before. I wish I could drive that back to the farm from. We were in a load of fields. But I've got no idea how to drive a modern tractor. And he went, well, I'll tell you it in 10 seconds. And you go, get in, press that, pull that, and then use that joystick to do that. And I went, oh. And it was really easy. I was in a JCB Fast Track. So I did 40 in a tractor, which is fast for a tractor. And
across a field?
Yeah. Well, and probably across a hedge as well. Yes. It wobbled a bit in the cab. I was like, oh, what was that? Yeah. Oh, it was amazing, man, I have to say. And the Vista, the windscreen on it, the windscreen's about 10 feet square. It's amazing. I loved it.
Oh, I'm really jealous now.
I'm totally going back. I think I can strike a deal with him. If I bring another interesting car to him, we can do a little swap.
They're auto, aren't they now?
They are auto, yeah, yeah. I think you can, he put it in full auto for me, but I think you can probably do a switchable auto.
Mm.
So you can, you know, press the button through the gears, push button.
The only tractor I've ever driven was a really old one with no cab, you know, just open.
Yeah.
Very, very bouncy.
Yeah.
But that was a manual. Had a slightly piggy gearbox on it, could do a lot.
They all do have piggy gearboxes, but the great thing is if you get the wrong gear, it's not the wrong gear, it'll still work in that gear.
It'll still pull.
Yeah, well, you can accidentally go from first to seventh, and it's like, not an issue, mate, not an issue.
Yeah, it's not like having a 911 where you have to take it to the dealer and they go, it's flagged up some over-revs on the laptop. You can't over-rev an old tractor.
No,
Massey Ferguson.
You can't really stall an old tractor either.
They do, because they do. You can. The farmer who let me have a go on his old Massey, he showed me that you just sort of stick it in gear and you could get off and let it chug along on its own and then get back on again because it's doing 1 mile an hour.
Yeah, they can do that. And some of them have a hand throttle as well as a foot throttle, so you can set it going in a big circle slowly. And then climb out off and then pull bales off the back and throw them to sheep. I think that's the idea for it.
Oh, okay.
But it just reeks of danger to me.
Oh, yeah. You're running, because to get back on, really, you've got to sort of nip in front of the big back tyre, which is the
killy
tire.
Bit. The killy bit.
Yeah. Yeah. And it also feels like, because you can always see the huge rear axle with the big diff and stuff. That's the heavy part as well.
It takes no mercy, mate. Takes no mercy. It's just.
But, oh, well, that's.
I really, really enjoyed it. I'm not driving it in the video. We're just doing something with agricultural machinery, but
oh, okay.
It was good.
You should go back and do a review on the tractor because it sounds like a.
You know what? I might actually do that. I'd like to do a bit of agri, sort of agri, because the technology in agricultural vehicles is way beyond cars. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
You think it's just bale to home for belts and leaning on gates and. Muttering. It's actually a lot more to it than that. Is farming, my lovely.
I haven't watched your review of the Polestar 2 yet because.
Well, thank you, Rich. I appreciate that.
I'll tell you why I haven't watched it because I knew that I was getting one in because I'm reviewing it for the Sunday Times and I don't like to read or watch other people's reviews of cars because I sort of worry that it'll kind of. Temper my
cloud.
View. I'll start looking for the things that other people point out. So I've been a bit circumspect. But the Polestar 2 has just turned up. And I haven't really had a chance to drive it yet, apart from just moving it around on my street. But I was weirded out by the fact that it has no starter button.
Yes.
It's
a bit like
very strange.
It's very similar to Tesla. When you're in, that's it.
Ah,
you just put it in.
You see,
D.
That's the thing because I've never driven a Tesla apart from the Roadster. So
haven't
I've never
you
experienced that? No, because I've never been able to borrow a press one because I'm tainted by association with Top Gear, who let's forget had a court case with Tesla. So yeah, I
didn't know.
The only
that.
Time I emailed the PR and went, "Hi there, do you think I could borrow a car, please?" I just didn't reply. So
I can help restore your honest.
Do you think? Well, because I think I'd love to try a Model Y when they come here, because I would seriously consider one as our, as a family car for us. So I think it could work for us. But notwithstanding that, I'm slightly worried about some of their quality, and also I think Elon Musk is a twat. But his cars are good. So apparently,
well, that's the thing. I think there's a lot to like about Tesla, and even if you think he's a total wand. He doesn't make the cars, does he?
No, he just pretends to. I can't bear it. Do you ever see him on Twitter when he starts trying to sound clever? It's the most excruciating thing when he starts going into science stuff.
He
sounds so like one of those boring twats in a really long coat who goes to World of Warcraft a lot. Well, actually, I think you'll find, if you look at the integers and you go, you're just using words you remember from school. Fuck off.
I think you'll find you're abusing the power of obsidian. And if you do that, then you're going to open up a fissure in the sky.
Yeah.
I don't read everything that Elon says on social media because I'm not hugely interested in space.
Well.
That's an awkward silence, wasn't it?
Well, no, because I know what you mean, because I'm kind of interested in space. I don't know a lot about it. I only found out, like, a few weeks ago how long it took them to get to the moon on the first Apollo mission. I sort of assumed they just sort of popped up there, you know, like a few hours.
Popped up there?
Well, you know what I mean.
What, they stopped at Gordano Services on the way, got past it, one of them needed a poo, and then they carried on.
Let's just put it down in the car park at Hilton Park and we'll be fine. My space naivety. I just thought, okay, it was a few hours. To the moon. No, days. I think it was 3 days, and then they had to orbit the moon for another day before they got down.
Listen, I don't know a lot about space, but I didn't think you'd get to the moon in a couple of hours.
I know.
Seriously.
I said this to my wife and she just looked at me like, you thick twat.
You're not driving from Stockport to Watford. It's a bit more involved, isn't it?
Well, even that can take a few days if the M6 is snarled. But I hadn't really thought about it enough. And then it was in some, I can't remember, it's probably one of the space books that my son's got, I think.
Books?
Yes, it's fascinating. But that's the thing, isn't it? I think we've been misled by science fiction to believe that one day we will go to space. And Elon Musk is, of course, talking about, you know, we'll colonise Mars.
But why?
But getting to space is unbelievably complicated, even now. You know, we've been doing it for a few decades. And we watched that SpaceX launch, because my kids were interested in it. We watched it live. But it got delayed at least once because the weather wasn't exactly right. And you go, this is not a feasible basis for just everyone just constantly nipping up to the moon. Never mind Mars. It just feels like this won't happen in our lifetimes. You know, I'm a bit torn on it.
Well,
I think on the one hand, it's natural that mankind should be curious and we should go and explore as far as we can in our universe. And it's fantastic that we have the capability to leave Earth's bonds at all. But at the same time, I do have this pang where I just go, are we wasting our time here? Are we just overreaching? But then they probably said the same about flight. And look now, you can fly wherever you fancy.
You can, but now the whole flying thing's become ridiculous because it's cheaper for me to fly to Spain than it is to get the train 90 miles to you. So what the bugger is that all about? And a train is a big, heavy, simple device.
That's true.
A plane has to stay in the air and not blow up with people on board. So I don't understand it. And I don't understand why we spend so much effort and money trying to get to space, because we've got too much crap on our own doorstep to sort out. You know, sweep up the sewage in your own back garden before you go playing around in space. We've got too much sewage in our own back garden. So, well, I particularly have.
And you've got wasps.
And I got wasps in my kitchen, and I don't know what I'm going to do.
Buck up your ideas, NASA. Stop titting about planning to put people on the moon again when you could be sorting out the wasp problem down on Earth. I mean, you'd get a Nobel Prize for that, wouldn't you?
Space travel's going to become really common. You're going to get privateer rockets, shuttles, whatever they are. I can't remember the difference. The rocket's the thing that takes the shuttle up. Is that right? Something like that. It's very technical. You can have people that get them remapped, aren't you? Stage 3. You're going to get all of that. You're going to put your shuttle on a rolling road. Yeah, not a rolling road. It doesn't need a road. What would it be? Rolling sky?
Rolling cloud.
Elon Musk's not going to hold a rolling cloud day.
I was going to say about that Polestar 2. The thing, am I doing this right? Because I have literally sort of driven it up my street and moved it. But you get in. To start it, you just pull the gear selector and put it in drive or reverse, and that also fires up the motor and off you go.
Yeah.
But then to stop it, I sat there for a bit because I was like, what do I do? It feels weird that the car is still on. So in the end, I just put it in park and got out, and
that's what you do. Yeah, because it's a bum sensor.
Oh, it's got a bum sensor?
It senses that someone sat in the seat of a certain weight, so it's more than a bag or a small dog. And then it will let you
Yeah. But I've got a large dog. Does that mean my dog could...
Yeah.
Try it.
Can you try it for me?
I'll give it a go.
Well, do it on video. Then. Put the dog in the seat and then press D and see what happens. Make sure you're in a very open car park.
The call to the
car's got
and
creep,
the bumper
hasn't it?
Damaged.
cow.
There you go.
Yeah, let my dog have a go. So there we go. But I mean, that's the thing. I don't know. I will. I'll report back with my driving impressions and compare notes with your.
Have you got the performance pack?
That's the one thing I have heard is that it's a bit
suspension's too hard.
Hard. Yeah.
And it's not adjustable at the push of a button. It's adjustable with climbing under the car with spanners and Allen keys, which to me is like I'm out at that point on a car that you're not going to do Nürburgring boredom with. You're actually going to use it in the real world.
Well, I can't do that anyway because Allen Keyes lives two doors down from us and he's on holiday at the moment. So
is he Alicia's uncle?
Yeah.
He's. Yeah.
But it does lead me to wonder. Because I had the Polestar. I've got a Polestar parked outside now, and my wife came in and she went, "What's that?" And I told her, and you have to always explain it, which is no good. I always think if you have to explain what car. Well, it's a Volvo, but it's not bad as a Volvo because it's a what? But she went, "Oh, I like that. That's really nice." That, and then one of our neighbours said the same. She was like, "Oh, what's that? It's very nice." I would consider one, but
because it's a Volvo.
Well, it's just sort of nice looking, isn't it? But it's too. The boot is. It's too. Even though it's a hatchback, the boot. The back window is sloped. Can't get the big dog in the boot, I think. It's touch and go in our I-Pace. She will go in there, but she sort of pokes her head between the headrests and hangs out with the kids. But it's. You know, I could do with a Polestar 2 estate would be a lovely thing.
Well, if anyone's going to make a sexy estate, it's got to be the Volvo Group, surely.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be flat-backed like an 850. It could be a bit sort of, you know, slanty-backed, shooting brakey sort of feel to it because it doesn't have to be old school.
I'm crying out for a long roof EV because there's just not any. VW have promised one, but I don't think we're going to see it. Yeah, it's going to be like a kind of futuristic Passat full EV estate, but yeah, it's a way off. It's this horrible thing of like SUVs calling the shots on what you can buy because they sell more, and it upsets me.
Yeah, this is the thing that I have is that we've got the I-Pace at the moment, but you know it's only on a lease. It goes back next April. And having looked, you know, I got that deal that was an unbelievable deal because it was based on an error.
It was a mistake, yes.
And there's no way I can see that we could get an I-Pace for the money that we're paying at the moment.
No, when you told me about that deal, I was like, that sounds shady.
No, it wasn't shady. I mean, it's through. Funny enough, it's underwritten by Jag Finance, but it's not a lease, it's a PCP, isn't it? But it's done through a big dealer group up north, and they were the ones who screwed up, I think. Or it might have been Lex who do their maths. Someone screwed up anyway, did the maths wrong. And there's no way you could get that again. So I'm like, well, now, I don't want to spend any more. I'd quite like to spend a bit less. I do think we you know the EV thing has worked out for us so far. That's all good, but what would I get next? And I just don't know.
Well, you've got to fit a gigantic dog in. That's your problem. If you didn't have the dog,
the gigantic dog is. We're going away, and we're taking the dog and the kids, and various things like you know kids' bikes and scooters and all that malarkey.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot.
It's fitting everything in. Well, because basically you put the dog in the boot and that's it. That's the boot is now the dog's. That's
yeah,
where the dog lives
for
the journey.
I just wouldn't take the dog personally, but that's just...
But she loves a holiday. We went away with her last year.
She doesn't know what a holiday is.
She does.
She doesn't.
She does. I swear she does. It was really funny because we went to the coast in Kent last year and we took the dog and we hadn't taken her to the coast before and it was like seeing a different side to the dog. She was a different dog on holiday. She was like a more relaxed dog. She was just really happy on the beach, just trotting about.
Seriously?
Yeah.
So you think the dog definitely
knows it's somewhere different. Well, yeah, only in the sense that it knows it's not at home and it's in a place that's sort of in many ways more exciting than where it lives because we don't have a beach at our house, so... Of course it's... I'm not saying that dogs know the word holiday. I'm just saying that they are aware of a change of scenery that in some ways is more interesting. I mean, everywhere a change of scenery is interesting for a dog because you get new smells, but that's all they really care about, isn't it? Dogs, they just like a smell.
Well, talking of which, the Aston Martin DBX SUV, I've just driven that a couple of days ago. And and that's got I was looking through the options list, and that's got a dog shower, an optional dog shower, and an optional, like, I don't know, sort of wet dog protection kit in the boot. And I struggle with it all, Rich. I struggle with it all.
Which bit do you struggle with?
Were you going to spend $160,000 on a car and then have a dog soil it? Why would you even consider doing that? Even if I just wouldn't do that, even if $160,000 was just a drop in the ocean for me, I still wouldn't do it. I just wouldn't. Maybe the wasps have jaded me this morning.
You're not feeling nature. I think that's the problem.
No, I love nature, but I don't want them in my bastard car. That's the difference. I don't understand why people put dogs in really expensive cars. They're car ruiners. They don't understand what a car is, and they don't care.
I mean, I did that when we got our dog.
I'd have a trailer.
I bought that cheap Jeep Cherokee pretty much specifically as, I don't know, I was a bit bored and I fancied
another car. Just a dog car?
I basically bought it so I could haul the dog down to the woods, because there's a woods near us that's got a load of water in it and a swampy sort of place, and the dog's a bloody idiot for that stuff and always gets muddy and wet. And, so I thought, I'll buy just a cheap old car as a dog car to haul her down there. And then and actually just like, that's a car I don't need. Becomes aggro. And also, you know, sometimes you're all going away as a family and you want to take the family car because it's nicer and more comfortable and all that.
And then a Jeep covered in dog hair.
It wasn't covered in dog hair. Though it became inconvenient because one of the gas struts on the tailgate broke, and then the tailgate wouldn't stay up on its own.
Oh, we'll just do what my dad did for in excess of 4 years and just carry a broom around with you.
Big bit of wood, yeah.
Instead of the fact that I pointed out to Dad that it's about an hour's work to put a new strut in.
Yes, well...
He's like, yeah.
That's one of those jobs I wouldn't trust myself with, because it's a gas strut and I know how powerful they are. And I thought, this is where I lose an eye, isn't it? It's definitely...
Oh, you've obviously never replaced the coil spring on a Mercedes W123. I think it's more dangerous than being a war correspondent.
Yeah.
It is so lethal.
Hi. I'm Martin Bell. I would happily go back to Sarajevo circa 1992, but I wouldn't go near a spring compressor because they're lethal. A top 10 fears, I'd say.
Oh, it's awful.
I have a range of irrational fears. I have this weird one about walking past a hedge and a bird flies out and its beak pierces my temple. But
what?
But I think, yeah.
You just said that out loud on a podcast. Do you have any idea?
I don't think I've ever told anyone that before, but it is. I'm just saying, you know, my fears are not necessarily rational, but the one about spring compressors, I do not like spring compressors. They frighten me.
Can you just go back to the temple with the beak?
Do you never think about that? That a bird, a blackbird or something, might just sort of come... You know, they suddenly exit hedges very quickly if they get startled.
Yes.
It zooms out of the hedge, and its beak, it's not paying attention, its beak... You know, in your temple, you've got that sort of... There's a softy bit.
Yes, I do, yes.
And the bird's beak goes into your temple.
But you'd be dead instantly, so you wouldn't care.
I don't know that you would, though. What if you were? What if you just slightly brain damage?
Stop it!
And the blackbird's still stuck in your head, partially.
The blackbird wouldn't... If the blackbird killed you, it would kill you instantly. With the temple. If it flew into your eye, I'd be more worried about it flying into my eye than my temple.
Yeah. But the eye, you know, it's like, okay, we've lost sight in one eye.
Do you remember that?
The brain damage from a blackbird's beak going into your brain through your temple. Potentially devastating.
Do you remember when we were filming a Smith and Sniff? I think we hadn't yet got the cameras rolling. I was still rigging the cameras, and we were at the services. Motorway services, and that was it. An ambulance turned up with a bird that was still alive, rammed front of the grill.
Ugh.
Do you remember?
It's like a horror film, yeah.
And I was rigging the car with cameras, so I don't think we properly got to film it. But we saw
the problem with birds. I hate birds in that situation. Well, there's a pigeon. I don't know what happened to it. A pigeon came into our garden the other day, but it was obviously, it had been, I don't know whether it had flown into something and it had become delirious, or it was dying anyway. But it sort of flopped into our garden. Of course, it was a hot day. The door was open and the dog ran out and started bothering the pigeon. And it tried to fly off again. It did a lap of our garden and then flew into the back window and landed on the ground again. So I was trying to... But if it had gone sort of like 2 feet to the other side, it would have come through the back door. And I was like, oh, I don't want a bird in the house because
birds in the house.
Dealing with birds because they always come apart, don't they? It's like most of a bird is just feathers and they all start coming off in flustery situations.
Did you just say that birds start coming apart?
They do. They start coming apart, don't they? They're really badly made birds.
I tell you what,
there's no substance to them.
They're like an 80s Renault. But I think I'm a bit more freaked out about what animal is it? Animals that have the sort of cantilever back leg and they're very bony. Some dogs actually. Some dogs are like that. Cows, horses, cows. I think cows have got that. Goats. Oh, sheep. Sheep have got that. You know, that sort of very, very vulnerable cantilever back end.
Yeah, I know. Because you haven't seen our dog since she had her summer haircut, and we had a clipped right back, and you can see much more of her. You know, because normally she's really shaggy, but she hasn't. You can see her legs, and you can see, and when she's just lying on the kitchen floor, which she does, and she's always slightly in the wrong place. So you're trying to cook, and you're just stepping over the dog, and I'm terrified of treading on one of her legs because they look so spindly.
Oh yeah, it's a cantilever.
And they are cantilevered. They are, of course, a dog leg, as in, you know, the gearbox.
Oh, yeah, there is that, isn't there? The dog leg. Yeah, like the gearbox. Or just the leg of the dog. Yeah.
Well, there we are. It's been, I think, even by our standards, quite a freestyling, but largely animal-based show this week. Thank you ever so much for listening to Smith and Sniff. If you want things that are slightly like this, then go to Johnny's Car Pervert YouTube channel, where you'll see him doing things on his own that don't involve talking about dogs' legs and birds piercing your head. And if you're very, very bored, then please buy my medium-sized book of Boring Car Trivia by Sniff Petrol, which is on Amazon as a paperback or an ebook. I thank you.
Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.